حمزة التقيت به في لندن. حمزة الذي عاش طفولة صعبة، ضحى بكل ما حوله في هذه الدنيا لأجل الإسلام والآخرة.
السلام عليكم. My name is Hamza Myatt, previously known as Darren Myatt. I'm 40 years old. I live in London. I embraced Islam when I was 27 years of age. I grew up in South Wales. My parents moved there when I was, I think, 6 years of age. My parents split when I was younger, so it was my father and my stepmother who moved there. So basically the area we lived was a white council estate. And basically it's just a matter of surviving there. The strongest survivor, the weak get eaten up, yeah. So I ended up, not in a gang as such, but I was a bit of a football hooligan. I used to travel to watch football matches and fight the rival fans and things like that. And then the gang that we were part of did that. We'd go stealing in shops here and there and things like that. So I wasn't the greatest role model for society. And then that was basically my life. I would go watching football, fighting, stealing, and work at McDonald's.
كان يعيش حمزة وأخوه مع والدهم في منطقة قريبة من لندن، وكانت والدة حمزة تعيش في منطقة مانشستر. وفي يوم من الأيام شاءت الأقدار بأن أم حمزة ترى في المنام بأن حمزة ولدها بحاجتها، وكان يقف أمام مطعم. صحت من المنام وأخذت القطار وذهبت إلى هذه المنطقة القريبة من لندن لترى ابنها أمام المطعم، وبالصدفة كان حمزة موجود أمام هذا المطعم.
And she said, "Are you in trouble? Because I felt in my dream you were in trouble." And we said, "No, fine." Because like I say, my life I had was, it was normal. We don't have trouble in that way. And then she wrote her number down and she gave me this little bit of paper. And she said, "If you're ever in trouble, call me and I'm here for you." And she left, went back to Manchester. And that was the end of that. Me and my brother was shocked. But I kept this number. And 2 weeks later, I needed this number.
ما الحدث الذي جعلك تحتاج إلى رقم والدتك؟
Well, what happened is, when I went to this shop to steal, I take big bar of chocolate, and I put it into my coat, and I leave. I hear these running footsteps, and I thought it was somebody running for taxi. Hand on my shoulder, this lady, can you come back into the store? Is going back into the store. My father comes from the shop next door. Now, I didn't know my father was shopping in this shop. And he seen me, but I didn't see him. So they took me into the store. And I'm in the office, and they say his parents are outside. I was like, "No, please don't let them in. And they said, "Oh, they promised to behave." So they let them in. My father punched me, and my stepmother was strangling me with my scarf. Now, the reason I say Qatar, if he didn't come out of that shop next door, then he would have known. But he did. So subhanAllah. So this is when I realized I'm in trouble. And like I said, I had this paper from my mother that said, "If you're ever in trouble." And now here's Qatar again. If she didn't come down on that train after her dream, I wouldn't have this paper to get out of this trouble. So it's like it was new. It was coming. And I phoned her, and she said, "No problem. I don't care what you've done. Yeah, just come. Mm. Just come. I'll help you." And so, mashallah, I jumped on the train, arrived in Manchester.
فانتقلت معيشة حمزة إلى مانشستر، ودخل مع أمه هناك لمحل بيع الملابس. وكان هذا المحل له أثر كبير في قصتنا.
So whilst I was there, my mother, she decided to ask the manager of the shop, or the owner of the shop, should I say, can you give him a job?
Hamza came to the shop with his mother. We didn't, at that time, employ boys. It was mainly girls working in the shop. But his mother was very, very persuasive. And she persuaded me and my sister, who we jointly owned the business, to employ Hamza.
So he spoke to his sister and they decided to give me a chance. So basically I started work there on Saturdays. So each Saturday I would go there and work the day.
He was an excellent salesman. We decided to employ him full time, about 6 days a week. And regularly he came to my house with me and he went buying with me. He ate with us. He became very, very close with me, not only myself, with my whole family.
أنت سمعت آيات تأثرت بها؟ ما هي الآية التي أثرت على قلب حمزة قبل الإسلام؟
The first time I heard any Quran was when I was working in a shop in Manchester, and my boss, my friend's sister came to visit him, and she was trying to give me da'wah about Islam.
Your brother Faisal.
My brother Faisal, yes. She was trying to give me da'wah about Islam. And to be honest with you, I wasn't interested in listening at that time. I was young. I wasn't really bothered about God telling me to do anything. So I was a little bit cocky, and I was a little bit trying to be a bit smart. So I said to her, look, you think I'm going to hellfire, isn't it, if I don't become a Muslim? She goes, yes, I believe that. I says, okay. So, well, so what? I says, when you go to fire and, you know, your skin burns, it becomes numb, it becomes desensitized, and you don't feel the pain. So I'll taste the fire once, and then finished. And she says, ah, but Allah says, when your skin has burned and you think it can burn no more, we will give you a new skin to burn again.
نعم آيات هذه الآية سبحان الله في سورة النساء الله سبحانه وتعالى يقول إن الذين كفروا بآياتنا سوف نصليهم نار كلما نضجت جلودهم بدلناهم جلودا غيرها ليذوقوا العذاب
آية من القرآن لها بروحي صدى وفاضت العينا تجيب ذاك النداء ثبتني يا الله على طريق الهدى ثبتني يا الله على طريق الهدى فكل ما أخشى سوء الختام غدا.
يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في هذه الآية العظيمة إن الذين كفروا بآياتنا سوف نصليهم نارا كلما نضجت جلودهم بدلناهم جلودا غيرها ليذوقوا العذاب. اكتشف العلم الحديث أن مصدر الإحساس هو الجلد، وكانوا في السابق يظنون أن مصدر الإحساس ما تحت الجلد، وبين الله سبحانه وتعالى في إعجاز هذه الآية أن مصدر الإحساس هو الجلد. يقول معاذ أن أهل النار تبدل جلودهم في الساعة 100 مرة. أجارنا الله وإياكم من نار جهنم.
بقربنا نور الحنايا وقلوب لله أعلنت الرجوع آياته تغدو شموع ويفيض في قلبي سنا.
لم يكن فيصل صديق حمزة يتحدث عن الإسلام أمام أبداً في فترة عملهم في مانشستر، ولكن عندما انتقل فيصل إلى لندن تغيرت الأحوال تماما.
And so when I used to visit him, he used to try to teach to me. He used to try to tell me. So it's like, oh, you know about Islam, this, that. But still, it had no effect on me because I would say to him, are you praying 5 times a day? And he would go, well, no. I said, right. Until you pray 5 times a day, why are you coming to me with this? You don't even do it yourself. And that was my get out of jail free card. So I didn't need to go any further. Yeah? Just once I said that, hala, stop. That was the end of it.
And I think it was at that point, after 9/11, that there was a lot of media about Islam. You know, Islam was always on telly and everything, so Hamza became quite curious about it. And also maybe the change in myself and my wife from being not so religious to really practicing Islam and praying and going to the mosque and other things maybe had an effect upon him as well.
But it made me start thinking about Islam and what it really is, because I know Muslims and they're not behaving this way, and yet the media is portraying Islam as terrorism and such. And the biggest factor was, again, he was still trying to talk to me about Islam. And this was when I got back to Wales. And I said to him, are you praying 5 times a day? And his response shocked me. He said, yes, we all are. So now I have an obligation to listen to him. So when I started to read and I read the book by Yusuf Al-Qabawi, Halal al-Haram, then I started to realise how practical Islam is and how it applies to the 21st century like nothing else does. So it was after reading that I knew that Islam was a practical, beautiful way to live your life. And even then I adopted most of the practices in my life. You know, I've never been really a racist anyway, to be honest with you. I stopped drinking alcohol because of that, even before becoming a Muslim, I stopped drinking alcohol. And the amazing thing was, one Christmas, I was working in a pub on Christmas Eve, and I had stopped drinking alcohol. So I was working behind the bar. These people are like animals. I'm not joking, they're animals.
Allahu Akbar.
And that was one experience. I said, SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah, I stopped drinking alcohol.
أصبح حمزة مقتنعا بالإسلام بل ومدافعا عنه حتى أنه في يوم من الأيام كان في بار وسمع من حوله يهاجمون الإسلام فأخذ حمزة يدافع عن الإسلام.
Islam doesn't teach us. Islam says you kill one human, humans like killing all of humanity, and all of these teachings can't kill civilians, even in jihad, even in war. There's conditions of civilians and trees and this and that. People working in the fields. There's so much conditions. I mean, to fly a plane into a load of civilians, for me, it didn't match this description. And they said, are you a Muslim? And I'm like, no, I'm not Muslim. They said, why are you a Muslim? That was my first dawah from a non-Muslim. Why aren't I? And I said to myself, why aren't I a Muslim? So I questioned myself. Why aren't I a Muslim? If I believe this, then I should be a Muslim.
ثلاث أمور جعلت حمزة يتردد في دخوله إلى الإسلام إلى هذه اللحظة. الأمر الأول القمار. الأمر الثاني صديقة اللي عاش معاها 6 سنوات وله منها طفلين. الأمر الثالث مصدر رزقه وهو كان يتعامل مع والده بالربا.
My business was finance, riba, yeah, dealing in interest, loans, mortgages and things like that. And I knew if I became Muslim I'm going to lose my income. I'm going to lose my job. I'm not going to have it's going to finish. Then after that, I go on to a business call to go and see a finance client about, you know, the car finance. Sorry, about the loan or mortgage it was. And I'm driving my car, and it's really, really heavily. And I didn't realise that they'd cordoned off the fast lane. Mm. And then I'm like... into these cones scattering everywhere. And I skidded to a stop. And I was sat there in my car, rain pouring on my car, and I'm saying, I could have died. I could have died right now.
علم حمزة أنه لو مات سيفقد كل متع الدنيا. فلماذا لا يفقدهم الآن لأجل الإسلام؟
And then that's when I realized, you know what? There's no need to wait. I need to become a Muslim.
هنا تذكر حمزة أول آية سمعها. إن الذين كفروا بآياتنا سوف نصليهم نارا كلما نضجت جلودهم بدلناهم جلودا غيرها ليذوقوا العذاب إن الله كان عزيزا حكيما.
It was only later when I was convinced the Quran was the word of Allah that I seen that verse in there that I thought, oh, subhanAllah. Back then she wasn't just giving me her words. She was giving me Allah's words. Because the main reason I embraced Islam, and this is the main reason, this is the honest reason, I didn't want to burn. Once I became convinced, once I had yaqeen for the nar, for the fire, subhanAllah, I want to escape that fire. What do I have to do? What do I have to do? Subhanallah. And that's when I decided to go down to my friends again in London, surprise him. And that was basically it, really. And I was sat with him and I was saying, look, you know, what am I going to do? I believe Islam is the truth, but I'm going to lose my business. I'm going to lose my girlfriend, where I live. What am I going to do?
At the same time, I said, listen, don't worry about anything, yeah? My brother's a solicitor. He's got an office there. We can find you a job. It's no problem. And because I've known him so long, it was no problem for him to stay with me and give him the support. Not only support from myself, the big Muslim community that is here in London as well.
And that alleviated everything. That removed all of the cloud that was covering it.
So I told him what it would entail, what would happen. So he came to my house, my wife was with me at the time, and he took the Shahada at my house.
After I took my Shahada, I said to him, now what? And he said, begin your journey. That's it. I said, what do I do now? He goes, well, that's it, you're Muslim, I need to go learn. And that's when I started to eat books and read and study and research. And go to circles and discover, do you get me?
Alhamdulillah.
حمزة حرص حمزة على أن يكسب رزقه من الحلال بعد إسلامه، ولا يرضى أن يكسب ولو باند واحد من الحرام.
So then I knew that I was going to be a Muslim. I actually took my shahada and I went back and said to my father, look, I can't do this business no more. I can't do it. He goes, what? I says, I can't do it. I goes, we've got deals going through that when we get paid for them, they will cover all the expenses we have. So right now, but the business has to finish because I can't do it no more. My father said to me, can't you do it for just 6 more weeks? I said, I can't do it for 1 more minute. I'm done.
Allah.
And then he says, right, get out. SubhanAllah. The brother Ibrahim, who was my Amir here at the mosque, he said to me, look, put your stall here. We'll have it like a shop. Come to the masjid, work in the mornings here in the masjid, answering the phone, seeing any inquiries, and at the same time do your shop. And then on Jummah, alhamdulillah, you can make a little bit. Because like I say, you don't need to make thousands and thousands. Just to eat, alhamdulillah.
اهتم حمزة بالعمل الدعوي بشكل كبير، فهو في كل أيام العطل ينزل للسوق للتعريف بالإسلام.
Alhamdulillah, in the marketplace, maybe 120 shahada.
MashaAllah.
Maybe 120 shahada.
MashaAllah.
Just people.
MashaAllah.
Yeah. Now these people are just shopping.
What I say to my brothers and sisters in humanity, don't believe the hype. Islam is not what you're told Islam is. You need to discover it for yourself. You need to read the Quran for yourself. You need to question who is the author of this Quran. And once you accept that this could not have been authored by a man in the 7th century, then you need to find out who did.
Well, my wish basically is to have a shop that is exactly this, but with, at the same time with books and with things so people can learn about Islam, non-Muslim can come in and learn about Islam. And at the same time, you see, it's not just supporting non-Muslims, it's Muslims, yeah? For example, we have mosques, we have madrasas, they need, abayas, they need kameezas, they need this, they need that. And at the same time, they need to learn about their religion. So they need access to this kind of thing as well. So for me, alhamdulillah, my wish would be to have a shop that could provide this service to the non-Muslims and to the Muslims.
ربيعي أنس أيامي صديقي بوح أحلامي